Oh, my friends, I'm telling you, the time is whisking by. And speaking of whisking, we have Ann Byrne over there whisking. Well, not really whisking. She's kind of mixing her famous curried butternut squash and apple soup. Now she's sampling it. Oh, perfect. She's giving me the okay sign. Perfect. It looks like we have soupage.
We do. It's perfect. It's lovely. Yeah, I just let the butternut squash kind of, remember I had a... scooped it out, put it in the pan, let it blend with the other flavors, and everything had cooked down so nice and softly. I'm going to turn this into a food processor or use an emulsion blender and blend it till smooth. But everything had cooked down so nicely.
It's so rustic.
I'm going for more of an Umbrian kind of rustic thing.
All right, here's where you go and get these French schools. Umbrian.
Okay. And so I just got the old potato masher out, and I'm just mashing the bigger chunks. And so now what you have is sort of a coarse puree, which I think is actually nicer than something that's so perfect. You know, this is imperfect. And I just poured in about a half a cup of cream, and I tasted to adjust the seasoning. I'm not going to add anything to it.
Well, why should you?
Well, you know, you could thin it out, and probably, you know, you should. When you reheat, if you do this ahead of time and you want to reheat it, then maybe some little
A little extra chicken stock, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I think any kind of soup that's a do-ahead soup, you want to be prepared to thin it out a little bit the next day with a little chicken stock, especially if the soup has pasta or potatoes or anything like that in there. Those starches just tend to sort of take up all the liquid. But yeah, just thin it out a bit, and we're all going to have a little bite and sample this.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to start because once I start, I'm not going to finish, and the sounds that I make when I'm eating are probably not appreciated when people are sitting there driving around 285, or they're over in Jaffa, or they're over in Dublin listening to this show. So instead of letting them listen to me slurp and slobber and do everything else, I'll let you find Ladies of Culinary and all the... And Michael, I'm sure, will want to get involved. I'll do all my tasting afterwards. My friends, this is a wonderful book, Ann Byrne Saves the Day Cookbook. I'll tell you what, you've probably seen her on television. You know, this is a different medium for you. This is really different. Instead of sitting behind a microphone talking about your book, this is where you get to actually
eat,
have fun. And was this anything that you expected?
No, I love it. I love it, but I told you, it does remind me of the way I grew up with a kitchen full of different people, and you're all sort of making dishes for the party, and there's a lot of conversation. So I think it's really fun and helpful to... I love doing it, actually, because, you know, you learn a lot. You learn a lot from other people when you cook with them in the kitchen.
You know, that's very true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. I found out that my wife did not like certain foods by cooking with her in the kitchen. Because she's like, what are you doing with that? I said, I'm cooking it for us. I don't eat that. See, you learn all kinds of things. But you know what? This is something that I think is important. And I'm going to ask you to do one more recipe, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
You're on a roll. You've got such an exquisite group with you here today. Why not go for it?
They've made it so easy. Yeah, this is super easy. This last recipe is an Atlanta recipe. It is for an olivet, which is kind of an old-fashioned day. I learned that. I didn't know it was so... It's a little bit retro, which I think is hilarious.
I just stole an olive.
What's that? Oh, it's okay.
I love olives.
I love them, too. But this recipe is very Mad Men. In fact, I'm surprised this was never, like, in one of the shows. Because this is sort of cheese, straw, pastry, meats, martini olive.
Now, see, I'm glad you mentioned martini olives. My parents were big-time martini drinkers.
Aha.
Couldn't stand martinis to this day. Can't stand them.
Yeah?
However, as a child, I was always stealing the olive. And I think that's where I got my hankering for olives.
Yeah.
Then we went to Israel last year. And, oh, my God. You go into the Shuk market or any of the great markets in Israel, they have kiosks that are nothing but massive amounts of olives. Because we were there towards the end of olive season.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'll give you a little hint. Never, and I'm sure you're much smarter than I am, obviously, but never eat a raw olive. That is the most bitter, nasty tasting thing.
So an olive that has not been, like,
right,
you're saying,
just,
like, cured with, you know, vinegar and whatever.
Now, if you mash it, we had one of the great chefs of Israel, Chef Moshe Bassan, took us into the marketplace. He said, here, try this olive. It was like eating pure alum. My mouth completely puckered up.
Wow.
It was the nastiest thing I'd ever put in my mouth. And then he said, now I want you to try this. I literally had to go running around the market trying to find a Coca-Cola. because
really?
That yeah, because you couldn't find anything to drink. I had to get that taste out of my mouth because the whole thing had puckered up. Then he said, now look what happens when you add a little salt. So he took the salt and he mashed the olive into the salt,
mm-hmm.
and then I ate it. It was totally delicious.
Wow. So what did the salt do? Was just
he was
the
using
oil?
Natural, you know, just natural sea salt. Because,
wow.
of course, they're Mediterranean. They use a lot of natural salts. In fact, my friends, when the doctor tells you no salt, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm telling you right now, you can use salt if you use natural salt. Natural sea salt bleached by the sun, not processed. They have found, the Europeans have found, that it absolutely is good for you. Just like butter. Everybody told you, you can't eat butter, can't eat butter. You can if you eat grass-fed cow butter and take the salt out of it. Like Kerrygold, good Irish butter. You can eat that all the time, and you can eat regular doses of it. And guess what? It's not bad for you. It's good for you. It's just the right things. So you don't have to eat or give up the things you love.
Right.
All you need to do is just modify with the things that are good for you, and you can eat what you want. So it's just my little medical tip of the day.
There you go.
Now, I see your hands are deeply involved in this dish.
Yes, they are. You
I
know,
love
I think,
dishes with your hands.
Well, I think so, too. I've gotten to where now I actually enjoy sort of making crumb toppings for fruit pies just by using soft butter and soft butter and flour and a little bit of sugar, sometimes some oats. And, you know, I learned how to cut butter into flour to make pie pastry using two knives or a pastry blender. But now I've gotten to where I really like using my hands in it, because you can add just your hand motion, you can really incorporate, and the little heat from your hands. Did you know that actually one thing I did learn that all of us have, the temperature of our hands is different. And so those of us who have cold hands and warm hearts, that we're better pastry makers than the people who are very sort of hot-blooded and have warm hands.
Wow. I'm telling you, my friends, on Chef and a Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs, you learn so much that you had no clue until you tuned into our show.
Yeah.
That's why after 13 years, people are still listening. It's absolutely amazing, because we bring the best, the brightest, the most exciting, the most successful people to our show because we can.
Because you can.
That's right.
Yes. So what I have now is beautiful cheese straw dough. And because I have pastry hands, I tend to have colder hands. I can do this. I don't recommend it for somebody who's very hot-handed.
I got to get a picture of you with a cheese ball in your hand. That's like the ultimate cheese ball. If you, yeah, throw it at me. Go ahead.
That's right.
But there you go. I mean, but you know, this is what I call a child moment. It's where you get kids in them, because they love to Play-Doh and
make... Definitely, yes. And this is a total Play-Doh recipe. So you just pinch off about an inch piece of your cheese Play-Doh, for lack of a better word. And then you're just going to take your olive. It's a pimento-stuffed olive. These are a little... these are kind of big, which is not a big deal. Just means you're going to have a little bit bigger olivet, because olives come in different sizes. So just know that. You're going to pinch off about an inch and a half piece, and then you're going to just sort of smoosh it around the olive as best you can, and the colder the dough, the easier it is to work with. It's at that fine line between a chilled dough and a sticky dough. And then with your pastry hands, roll them into balls.
That's very cool.
Where you sort of, you know, you do this with it. You don't want to spread it too much. You don't want to get too much heat.
Is this something you can overwork too?
Yeah. And you can overthink this recipe, too. You just need to get them out. If you want them to hold shape better, you stick your pan of cheese-enrobed olives in the fridge and let them chill first. You can even freeze these unbaked.
And quickly, they're one lovely. Of the great things about your book, too, you offer the razzle-dazzle, which, you know, kind of food stylists love this part of it. You know, little things you could do to enhance the culinary vision of what you do. And it also gives you some great tips and great ideas. So you're not only getting great stories, you're getting great sidebars, side tips, extras, with the book, and you get the great recipe.
Yeah.
That's quite a deal you got going there.
It is. Well, I think through when I create a recipe or test someone else's recipe, I'm always thinking, now, how could I change this? How could I use this in my kitchen? You know, what happens when the peaches come in season? Would this be as good with apples? You know, would it be as good with peaches as it is with apples? So I think that my mind is always curious in that way. So you just work with all this dough, and you get friends and family in here in the kitchen to help you.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
It's
culinary
of fun.
Is all about fun, but it's all about getting back together. And this holiday season, my friends, you know what? It's Christmas. It's Hanukkah. It's a great time of the year for people because their hearts open, their minds open. People are whistling Christmas carols or singing. Well, there aren't a lot of Hanukkah songs, but they got a couple that are pretty good. You know, yeah, the dreidel song, always a popular one until you talk to someone who's had to listen to it for about 50 million times. But all kidding aside, it's the holiday season. It's a festive time for everybody to come together.
It is.
Get in the kitchen, celebrate with food, celebrate with fun. And when we come back, I've got a question for you. What do Captain Jean-Luc Picard, the famed Enterprise captain, and Anne Byrne have in common? I'll bet you don't know. When you come back, you shall find out. Because we are Chef and a Fat Man, a blue-collar chef's full of it to the maximum. Taking it to the streets of Cook's Warehouse.